I'm very thankful for not having to use that contraption that goes over the ear. I don't know what happened to it, but maybe God finally answered my prayer. You can keep it, Jacob. It's great to be here in the house of the Lord, and we'll get to the message shortly. But how's everyone doing this morning? Right? Great? Not so fair to middling. People always ask me, how are you? And one of my favorite responses is, I think I'm okay. And then they look at me funny, and I said, well, if you think you're okay, you're more likely to be okay, right? Because the scripture says, as a man thinks, so is he. So it starts up here. So God has given us his spirit that lives within us. And if you start thinking it, then sooner or later it comes through your lips and you begin to confess it. And then it begins to manifest in your life. So if you always think you're sick and you begin to declare yourself sick, then the chances are better that you will get and be sick than the alternative. And what I'm saying is not just foolishness. Well, being a Christian is kind of foolish sometimes, but we have to stand on the word of God and confess from our lips what God says in his word. Right? His word does say, by his stripes we are healed. So if you declare that, even though the body may look sick or feel sick, you're just declaring his word, and he will always honor his word. Amen? That's not the subject for today. Amen. I think we're gonna conclude today in the series on the Holy Spirit. How many of you are tired of hearing of the Holy Spirit? Be honest. No, okay. Don't show your hand. I won't be offended if you told me you were. Truly. We've covered the personhood of the Holy Spirit. We've covered symbols used in the scripture that depict the Holy Spirit. We've covered the works of the Holy Spirit. We've covered the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today we will talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your people that you've purposed to be in this place and listening wherever we are, Lord. And I pray your anointing. I pray that our hearts will be fertile soil, that your word will take root and bear fruit in our lives. And we'll be not hearers only, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you promise me you won't look at your phone except it's for the Bible and not to check the football scores, we will get out in time for you to watch the second half of the 10 o'clock game. Okay? Deal, Aaron? John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1 through 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Jesus is speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we see Jesus is teaching here, and he gives certain points during this little discourse. One is that he is the vine. He is the vine. He is the vine that has the roots in the ground and receives all the nutrients and nourishment from which the branches can branch out and grow, right? And we are the branches. If the branch is not connected to the vine, it's useless. So we see the first, we have four scenarios here. We have one is no fruit. No fruit. The only way for the branch to produce fruit is to be connected to the vine. Amen? Because it has to draw that nourishment and the nutrients and the stuff that it takes to bear fruit from that connection with the vine. And it's the same way with us as believers. In order for us to bear fruit in our lives, we have to be connected to the vine. So if you see a believer, someone who has confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, without any fruit, that means that that connection between the branch and the vine and the branch is not as strong as it could be and as it should be, because we've been called to be fruitful. So there's the no fruit scenario. That means there's a breakdown, there's a disconnection. There's also some fruit. You can be connected, and the vine is fine, but for some reason, the fruit are not coming the way they should. And you know, I experienced this personally. We bought our first home in the valley, and we had some fruit trees in the yard, and I didn't know anything about pruning. But if you didn't prune them, they were pear trees, they'll just produce these tiny little pears, and the only thing you would have as fruit is dirt in your yard, because they won't grow anything more than this, and they'll just drop in. You got to clean them. You had to prune them and thin them out so that there'll be enough nourishment for some of them to grow. So Jesus is saying here that you have to prune in order to increase the fruit. So those of us who are not producing much fruit. We do produce some fruit. We just need to go through the pruning process. And sometimes it's uncomfortable, sometimes it's not easy. But it's necessary if we are to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. The pruning process. Then we have more fruit. As soon as you prune and that connection is there, then that vine and that branch produces more fruit. And of course, what God really wants of us, and Jesus said it in verse 8, that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. You see, God wants us to be fruitful. And then, of course, being fruitful, the only way to multiply is to be fruitful, right? Because if there's no fruit, then the fruit, then the lineage comes to an end and the branch eventually dies because it can't replicate itself. And that's a problem some of us go through in the church. So Jesus is divine. The Father is the vine dresser. He does the cleaning. But we are the branches and we are called to bear fruit. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read two verses out of that passage, verses 22 and 23. And this is one of the rare occasions we're going to look at several different translations, because each one says it a little different. I'm going to read out of the New King James first. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See these nine. Good News Translation, same passage, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. New Living Translation, I like this. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. The Amplified, but the fruit of this Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, even in an even temper or forbearance, kindness, goodness or benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. I like to call it Amplified, the wordy version. But it kind of brings some things out. And lastly, we'll look at the Message Bible. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things. a sense of compassion in the heart and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Isn't that beautiful? But it starts by living God's way. It poses a question, right? What happens when we live God's way? Another version said, what happens when the Spirit controls our lives? And just so we're on the same page, we will just give a short definition. Somebody's definition, not mine. Of some of these terms that we've used. Love. Unselfish, benevolent concern for another, brotherly concern. The object of brotherly concern or affection. The self-denying, self-sacrificing, Christ-like love, which is the foundation of all other graces. Unselfish, loyal and benevolent concern for the well-being of another. The high esteem which God has for his human children and the high regard which they in turn should have for him and other people. To love, to have affection for someone, to like, to be a friend, the love of brothers for each other. Those of you that have been in the church for any length of time probably know about the three main kinds of love. And there's the affectionate love, there's the brotherly love, and then there's the godly love. But this encompasses all. God has called us. One of the fruit of the Spirit is love, the ability to love others. Even, you ready for this? Even if they appear to be unlovable. And I will tell you, it can be a challenge sometimes. But he's commanded us to love. As Pastor Jim always says, which is true, we don't have to like. We don't have to like people. It helps if you also like them, and it's easier to love. But we're still commanded to love. I tell people this all the time in the workplace. Nobody says you have to like the people you work with. But it helps since you spend more time with them than actually your own family, because half the time you're home, you're asleep anyway. So it definitely helps, but you have to love them and respect them for the time that you're together. Amen? So unselfish concern for one another. We're not to love only people who love us. We are to love those too. But we're also to love those difficult ones that come into our paths for some reason. Amen? Joy. What is joy? Great delight. Well, joy is hidden right there. Great delight, gladness of heart. The happy state that results from knowing and serving God. That deep, abiding, inner rejoicing in the Lord. To rejoice, to be glad, happy, joyful, cheerful, rejoicing, festive. A lot of times we contrast happiness with joy. Happiness in a worldly sense happens when circumstances or situations in your life aligned correctly that brings that happy feeling. Amen. Joy in the Lord is possible even when circumstances dictate otherwise. You can have joy in the Lord even when your body is afflicted with sickness. You can have joy in the Lord even when you find yourself wrongfully imprisoned. Amen? You can have joy in the Lord even in the light of persecution. Because we should not be surprised when we go through persecution. Jesus told us that we will go through it. So the joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart, and it results, the state, the happy state that results from knowing and serving God. Again, it's one of those things that we have to consciously work on and remember. Because guess what? We have an enemy who wants to beat us down with the negative stuff. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants us to have joy because joy is a fruit of his Holy Spirit that lives in us. Yes, it's okay to have a moment of discouragement or being down for a moment. That's totally normal because we're still human beings. But when we fall, we can't stay down. We got to get up, dust ourselves off, and take another step forward. Amen? Peace. The presence and experience of right relationships. The tranquility of soul. Sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on his presence. The inner tranquility and poise of the Christian whose trust is in God through Christ. Tranquility, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. That's an all-encompassing, that's five different definitions. But I like the sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on his presence. Again, dependent on us being connected to the vine, being in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and always remembering that he is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Some person wiser than me said, peace is not the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of war. It is part of it. But war takes so many shapes and forms. Sometimes we have inner turmoil. And that's what the definition talks about, tranquility, rest. Sometimes we're not at peace because we have inner turmoil. And we always, in those times, need to turn to God. We need to make things right where we have done, said, thought, whatever things to have caused the connection with the vine to not be as strong as it should be. Remember this. Whenever God seems far away from us, is never his fault. The scripture tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed his address. It's always us. Now I know we live in a culture where it's not cool to accept responsibility for our own actions, right? I'm asking you to accept responsibility on this one. Anytime there's an issue where God seems far away or we can't seem to connect with him and we're just in this limbo, that means we've moved from that relationship that he wants to have with us. That's the bad news. The good news is that his word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen? He's there waiting, eager, with open arms waiting for us to come back into the fold and live in that peace that only he can give us. Long suffering. I think some of the translations calls it patience. My late grandmother had a saying that she prayed to God for patience, and he gave her so much patience that he made her stupid. Yeah. I have a lot of patience myself, I like to think. Though it's, the older I get, it's not as much as I used to have. I went into the restaurant yesterday morning for breakfast, and the hostess, as she seated me, told me the server's name that will be serving my section and said, have patience with her. I think today is only her second day on the job. I said, I have a lot of patience. I didn't know how much I would need. It took about 20 minutes for my coffee to come. Yeah. Long suffering, forbearance, patience, patient endurance and steadfastness under provocation. Forbearance under ill will with no thought of retaliation. Patience, endurance, steadfastness, and forbearance. Forbearance under suffering and endurance in the face of adversity. The ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, patience. Patience knowing that if you're connected to God, whatever you're going through does not confound him. Patience knowing that we already know how the story ends. It's like we've cheated and gone to the end of the book. Amen? Patience knowing that if God is allowing me to go through this, to be challenged by this person or these persons, to be in this environment that's trying to drive me crazy, that I'm there for a reason. And that reason is to reflect him, to glorify him, by pushing through and allowing his light to shine. Amen. We sang the song, let me tell you about my Jesus. I don't agree totally with the saying that, you know, you can evangelize through your life and if necessary use words. Words are necessary sometimes. But those words are even more effective when backed with actions. Amen. How many of you know we who profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are held to a higher standard? And that's because of the God we serve. We held to a higher standard because we have a God and a Savior who has given us all the tools that we need to go through this journey. That's why long suffering or patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. What's the next one? Kindness. Quality or state of being kind. The steadfast love that maintains relationships through gracious aid in times of need. Goodness of heart, serviceable, good, gracious, pleasant. Love for mankind. Hospitality. Acts of kindness, readiness to help. Human friendship, benevolence, taking thought of others. Goodness in action, sweetness in disposition, gentleness in dealing with others, affability. I like this one. The ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. I don't know who came up with that one. That's a definition. The ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. Again, it's one of those things like love. Even those who would tax your patience, we're to show kindness. Amen? Because that's what we have been called to do. Goodness, beneficence, ready to do good in love, love in action, kindness in actual manifestation, virtue equipped for action, a bountiful propensity both to will and to do what is good, intrinsic goodness producing a generosity and a godlike state of being. The word beneficence means the act or quality of being kind or doing good. Goodness and kindness and love, all of them. You see how the fruit flow one into another? They're all connected. And that's one of the reasons that God has bestowed these upon us through His Spirit and called us to be fruitful. Amen. Faithfulness. Now those who are here for the gifts, remember that faith is one of the gifts, right? Fidelity, faithfulness is fidelity which makes one true to his promise and faithful to his task. Steadfast, dedicated, dependable, and worthy of trust. Steadfast, unchanging, and thoroughly grounded in relation to the other. Dependability, loyalty, and stability. Faithfulness. Doing what you set out or say you're going to do. You can be counted on if you make a commitment to do something that you will see it through. Amen? Not carried about with every wind that blows. It's okay to shop around for churches and find one that suits you, that connects with your spirit, That's fine. But eventually find one and settle down. Amen? Eventually find one and commit to being a part of whatever that body is committed to, and be faithful. Showing up is part of being faithful. Amen? Make a commitment and keep it. Some people are afraid of commitments. You know, I've said this more than once, that when we moved here to Spokane, I told my wife, let's find a church and we'll go every Sunday or as often as we can, but let's just sit in the back and fellowship. That didn't last too long. But it's important that when you connect, that you stay faithful. Even if it's a little thing that you do. I've also said this before, that even the person who keeps this place clean and presentable for us to come in here and worship on Sunday is just as important to God's kingdom as those of us who stand up here and declare his word. Amen? Faithfulness makes one true to his promise and faithful to his task. Gentleness. What is gentleness? Mildness combined with tenderness. Gracious, kindly disposition. Controlled strength. I like that one. A disposition that is even tempered, tranquil, balanced in spirit, unpretentious, and that has passions under control. A character that is equitable, reasonable, forbearing, moderate, fair, and considerate. Power and strength under control, willing to pardon injuries, correct faults, one who rules his spirit well. I like that. The scripture says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Gentleness. Jesus was described as meek. And the problem in the world in which we live today is that people mistake goodness for weakness. Amen? Being meek is not the same as being weak. It just means that you have yourself under control. Power and strength under control. That doesn't mean you can't lash back or do something and retaliate, no. But it means you are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in your life and through your life that will bring glory to our Lord and our Savior by remaining gentle. Scripture says Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Just picture that for a second. The King of Kings. But he remained gentle. Obedient to death, even the death on the cross. And the last one is self-control. Again, these all kind of morph together as you've seen. Temperance. Rational restraint of natural impulses. Way back in the 70s, they used to have these patches on the jeans And one of the most popular ones was, the devil made me do it. The devil will disclaim a lot of those on that day of reckoning. No, I had no part in that. You did it on your own. But rational restraint of natural impulses, sober, temperate, calm, and dispassionate approach to life, having mastered personal desires and passions, calls for a self-disciplined life following Christ's example of being in the world but not of the world. Restraint or discipline exercised over one's behavior. Self-control. Now, I will tell you this. It's much easier for us to try to control others than it is to face that person in the mirror and try to control ourselves. And that's why it's always much easier to blame somebody else. Yes, sometimes it is somebody else's fault. But how have I contributed to the situation that we find ourselves in? Or what can I do that will help that person see that they're on the wrong path and make things right? That's what the definition is talking about. Yeah, then that's what why the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So we talk about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's a reason that the scripture says the fruit, singular, even though we talk about men nine, right? They all intertwine with one another. Unlike the gifts, which are given freely, all of us don't have all the gifts. All of us are called to bear and exhibit the fruit. Amen? That's a big distinction. It's one fruit. So why do we need to bear fruit? Because Jesus told us to, and the Word of God tells us to. That's reason enough for me. We should be fruitful. We should bear fruit. We should reflect the life-changing power of Jesus washing away our sins and the Holy Spirit coming to take up residence within us. Amen? The second reason we need to bear fruit is because that is how the world around us will know that we belong to God. Amen? There's got to be something different about us when we have the name of Jesus stamped on our forehead. We can't react to things the way we used to, or even the way we want to, because of who we have living within us. Amen? Because that is how the world would know that we belong to God. The third reason is because that is the only way we can produce and multiply. Amen? We don't have this gift just to hold it in. No. God has blessed us and given us the fruit so that we, in turn, can plant seeds and produce more fruit and grow his kingdom here on earth. Amen? That's the only way we can produce and multiply. The fruit has to bear, you have to bear fruit, and then you take that seed and you plant it again and bear, another vine grows and bears and multiplies. That's how it works. Jesus is our supreme example. He showed us the way and provided the way for us to reconnect after we had sinned and separated ourselves from God. He wants to impart his nature in us by the Spirit. We have to be connected to him. And it's not a one-time connection. So picture this, you plug something in the outlet and it comes on. And it's on as long as it remains plugged in. Right? If you unplug it, it goes off. So it's not a one-time plug in with Jesus and then plug out and plug in and plug out and plug in and plug out. It's maintaining a continuous connection, a continuous relationship with him. Amen? And that's how we can exhibit the fruit. It's a continuous connection. And that's why, again, it's one fruit. It's a singular fruit, but many different aspects of the fruit that show our connection to Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll have the worship team come up. It's vitally important that we maintain that connection between us as the branches and Jesus as the vine. Without that connection, without that continuous connection, the fruit suffers. Amen? So when we don't, and we find ourselves unable to love the way he's called us to, let's check the connection. When we find ourselves losing self-control, when impulses and environments dictate our thoughts and actions, let's check the connection. Amen. When we find ourselves without joy, the joy that we used to have, the joy that we know we should have, let's check the connection. When we find ourselves losing patience or being unable to be kind, let's check the connection and maintain that connection with Jesus Christ, who is divine. Please stand. We serve a God who has never changed. He's still a miracle-working God. He's still answering prayers. He's still changing lives. If you hear this morning, you may have been in church your whole life, but you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. That's the most important decision you can make, because it has eternal consequences. Please don't leave here today without doing so. Stop me, stop anybody up there, stop any of the members and we will help you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's only by your grace and it's only by your mercy that we can stand today. We thank you. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for directing us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, Lord, and has bestowed your fruit upon us, Lord. Oh, we pray that where those connections have been frayed and disconnected, Lord, let's have them reconnected this morning in Jesus' name. Your word says that if we seek you, we will find you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will leave this place with a new sense of purpose, a new sense of connection, a new sense that you have saved us and called us for a purpose and for a reason. And I pray we will fulfill your purpose in our lives. Father, I pray for those that are sick in our midst this morning. Sick in body, sick in mind, sick in emotions. Touch them and heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those that lack in any way, Lord. Provide. Your word says you will provide all our needs, Lord. And you've never failed once. So we stand on your word this morning. Lord, we pray for your direction as we face another week. Order our steps, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Take us through those battles that we will face and give us the strength and the assurance and reminder that you're right there with us, Lord. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.